The topic today I would like to share with you is discipline of humility. I think every one of us sitting here would like to grow spiritually over time. What do you mean by being spiritual? What's the key? To me, one of the key of being spiritual and grow spiritually is to be humble. Thank you, Brother Andrew and other brothers, lead us sing, to prepare the songs, to prepare our hearts. There's some misconception about being spiritual. Sometimes people think that if you have been a Christian for a long time, you must be very spiritual. There's a good correlation, but it's not necessary. Some Christians, they have come to church for many years, but actually they do not grow much. Another misconception is that if someone has a lot of Bible knowledge, even if they go to seminary school, then they must be very spiritual. Again, there's high correlation, but it's not necessary. Some people can be very proud of their knowledge, and they become very stubborn and arrogant. Some people think that if this person has a lot of spiritual gifts and serve in different capacity, he must be or she must be very spiritual. It's true there's a good correlation, but it's not necessary. Sometimes people serve for their own ego, their kingdom, instead of extending God's kingdom. So what is spiritual? I'm not saying that these things are not good. These are good, but there's no direct necessary correlation between the two. Being spiritual and all the above items. So through the years, I ponder amongst myself, how do I see a spiritual person? Have you asked yourselves, when you say someone is very spiritual, what does it mean? To me, I think there are several things. This person must have a very intimate relationship with God. They're connected well with God. They should have very good morning time with God. At the same time, they generate the fruit of Holy Spirit. Because they are so connected with God, the Holy Spirit dwells in them. And over time, you can see a lot of good things like patience, love, and mercy will reveal in them. And also, this kind of person has the heart for the God's kingdom. They would like to reach out to lost souls, extend God's kingdom so that more people will come to Christ. So to me, to boil down, how do you judge a person being spiritual? Of course, we cannot judge. God can only judge. But I can see that when I see these two characteristics, I can see one, this is very close to God. The two things I would like to summarize is love and humility. These are the two very essential ingredients for someone who's really being spiritual. Today, our focus is on humility. The passage I chose is Matthew 5:1-12. Could I ask brothers and sisters to read that out together? Let's go. Go on. Blessed are the peacemakers. I think my brothers and sisters are very familiar with this passage we call Beatitudes in the book of the Gospel of Matthew. I like this passage a lot because it talks about a lot of blessing. Those who are blessed, the peacemakers, and then earlier we talk about those who are poor in spirit, mourn, meek. But I had a minor in philosophy when I was in college. I usually do not want things to be listed out, just like kitchen sink. All these items of being blessed. I have a very curious mind. I ask God, how are these things related? You can just list all the items these people are blessed, but how are these different items related to get be blessed? After I prayed several times, I got some insights. In fact, brothers and sisters, if you look at this passage, I can see actually this is the path of spiritual growth. For example, you're poor in spirit. You mourn. What do you mourn? You mourn your sins. You mourn that you're dirty. You're impure. That's why you mourn. You become meek. You said, God, save me. You know that you are a sinner. You're a proud person now. You admit your sin. And then you say, God, I need to be humble. I want to be hunger for, first for your righteousness. I hunger for your righteousness so that I will be filled. Not me. I need to die. You fill me with righteousness. Not just and being pure and heart and merciful. So the Holy Spirit will grow in me because of you in me. Not just in growing me, I have actions. I want to go out, do your work. I want to peacemaking. I want to make peace with people and help those who are persecuted. Even at the cost of the cross. I'm willing to follow the path of cross and walk with you. And those people are blessed. After I pondered that, oh, this called beatitude, the blessings, actually is just related to whole spiritual growth. And one of the key thing is that you need to admit that you are impure, you're so insufficient, that you have said, God, help me. Dwell in me. Humility. What is the opposite of humility? Pride, right? So in order to practice the discipline of humility, let's look at the opposite examples. So try to avoid being proud so that you can practice the discipline of humility. Now, pride comes in very different forms. Pride is the key of human sin. Pride comes in different forms. Some are obvious, some are not so obvious, some is even hidden. So in order to fight this bad thing about pride, you need to understand what is pride about. From learning what pride is about, then you can understand what is humility. I can see there are three different types of pride. I roughly classified. One is obvious pride. One is not so obvious pride. One is hidden pride. You can see this is a level. The most superficial level is obvious pride. As you go further and further, they are actually supreme level of pride that you don't even see. So let's open them and see what is pride about in order to avoid being proud. The first one is obvious pride. Now, obvious people who are obvious proud, it's very easy to see. They said, I am number one. You got to have me. I'm indispensable. In this church, in this company, in this organization, if you do not have me, you die. I am the central person. You have to have me. You can see that these kind of people are very boastful, very obvious. You can see that. And you can't stand it. You can see these kind of people, right? I think somehow in different organizations, in business, in school, you see these kind of people. They thought they're number one. They must be very good. This is the lowest level of pride, I tell you. Now, let me ask you, in the passage, in Old Testament and New Testament, which characters you can see except the so-called obvious pride? Do you recall one or two passages? Now for me, one of the obvious pride example is in Daniel. It's the king Nebuchadnezzar. Okay? There are many examples. Let me just use pick up examples for each of this pride. Here is obvious pride, Nebuchadnezzar. Now for people who are taking notes, you know that it's a simple way. There's an outline on the bulletin. Okay? So can I ask you to read that out? Let's go. All this happened. Thank you. So this king of Nebuchadnezzar is very powerful. He was, in that the kingdom of Babylon was so widespread, it's also controlling a lot of countries at the same time. He said, I am the one. I made all this happen. This belonged to me. You can see the palace and all this glory. He's an obvious, very proud person. He thought he's number one. He's indispensable. How many of you have been to Germany? Anyone? One person? Okay. Okay, Frank. I don't know whether you have been to a place. If you have not, next time, go to this place. Highly recommend it. This is in Berlin. This is called Pergamon Museum. One time I served in Berlin, and the pastors told me, and to this museum, this is wonderful. Because the Germans, going to different countries, took a lot of things from other cultures and bring it back to Germany. And they store in this museum. And what's so big about this museum? Because they use a lot of historical artifacts and store it and put it in history. And what's the history? The history of the four dynasties, four kingdoms, as saw as prophesied in the book of Daniel. The first one is Babylon, was the second one. Persia, the third one. Greece, the fourth one. The Romans. Okay? And they have all these artifacts talking out and laid out in this museum, one by one. And also it's very well decorated. They actually paint a lot of things. They look at the pictures and put artifacts as if you're walking into that country at that time. So I really enjoy that. I don't want to leave the museum. I want to stay there. But the pastor said, we need to go. We need to go. So next time, please go to Pergamon Museum. Highly recommend it. You can see, this is Babylon. They really built just the gates. And they stay there. At that time, the kingdom of Babylon has so-called a garden hanging in the sky. It's a floating garden. But this is not seen anymore. But there's this rumor saying that King Nebuchadnezzar built a garden in the sky. Somehow, I don't know how to describe that, okay? But it's just very beautiful. And this king is marvelous. He was able to do great things. So he has some ingredients, he has some base to be proud. But he thought it came all from him. Actually, it's not him. It's God using him. When he was so proud, thinking of all these things to himself, saying that I am God. What happened? Right away, you see what happened. Let's read that together. Even as the words. You know what? At the tip of his exclamation that, I'm God, I'm so powerful, what happened? God struck him. He became mad like an animal. I think for maybe 7 years. It's not God was so jealous. Are you a God? I'm God. I need to punish him. No. God loved him. He needed to be humble in order to be saved. Otherwise, this soul will go to hell. God humbled him so that later on, when he recovered his consciousness, he gave glory to God. I think he's saved, finally. So, don't be proud. A lot of achievement we have, even if you are so talented, a lot of skills, it's not from you. It's God give you. So don't, there's no necessity to be proud. That is very easy to recognize that kind of pride. Obvious pride. There's something that's not so obvious kind of pride. Let me tell you. One, it's easy to anger. I wonder if you are a very temperamental type of person. If you like to vent your anger to other people, you're actually a very proud person. What's the meaning of that? It means that I don't feel good now. You are my subjects. Let me vent my anger to you so I feel good. I'm more important than you. If someone is very prone to anger, you watch her. You're very proud. Because you think yourself are more important than others. Your emotion is more important than others' feelings. If someone who is very opinionated, they tend to be very stubborn. In meetings, they insist on their opinion, do not listen to other people. This is also very proud. It means that my idea is always better than yours, even collectively. So in church meetings, in organizations, sometimes you can find these kind of persons. They're very stubborn. They said, this is my way, and thy way is the only way. They keep insisting. As a result, meetings take a long time to finish. They're so stubborn, opinionated. Let me ask you again, a test of the Bible knowledge. In the Old Testament, New Testament, which kind of person seems to be very opinionated, very resistant to listening to advice, and very stubborn? Can you recall a person? Paul? Okay, Paul initially, yes. Okay. Later he changed. Now, I also thought of another. There are many characters in the Bible. The one that I saw is in actually, let me see here. It's in 1 Samuel 25:2-38. Remember this person? Nabal? Okay, let's read that together. His name? You can see that this husband, Nabal, Abigail's husband, called Nabal, was very sordid and mean in his dealings. At that time, David was asking for something to eat for his people, and they said, who was this David? He was angry, he vented his anger, and I think you know the story. Later on, Abigail, in order to save the family, what happened? She herself sneak out, take a lot of things, and met David, and stopped David. And David thanked her for that, because otherwise David was going to come and kill them. And when Abigail came back, what happened? She told the news to her husband. Let's read that together. I guess he must have a stroke. He will be like a stone, okay? So at the time when he heard this bad news, as a result, somehow he became a stone, and then after 10 days, he died. So you can see, stubborn people, be careful. If you are very hard to seek opinion, it's not that you always have to listen to other people, because sometimes other people may be wrong. But you got to have open ears and listen, because every person is not perfect. We're not God. We have our background, we have a personality. You can contribute your ideas in meetings, but you have to listen to other people's ideas and collectively decide. You don't have to insist on things. You don't have to say, my way must be the best way. But if you, after praying, that other people give you advice, you think that that's not true, then you can respond, you can keep yourself, but you don't have to vent it out, okay? And when it's especially decisions making, you don't have to insist on opinion. As long as it's not violating the basic theology. For example, if a church is really against the Bible, for example, it supports maybe homosexuality or all this kind of thing, then you may say that I'll step down. Maybe you even leave the church because it's not church to glorify God. But other things in terms of doing things, you can be more open-minded. Maybe you're right, but God allows that to happen. Then just collectively, we make decision at this point of time, and God will change later. So you don't have to insist on your opinion. The third type of pride is what the human pride. What I call is the highest level of pride. It's so high that it's very hard to recognize. Not even the person who was proud. This is what we call superficial humility. On the surface, this person is very humble. When you try to praise him or praise her, they say, No, I'm not that way. But deep in his or her heart, he said, yeah, you recognize it. That's good. On the surface, you said, No, but deep in said, yo, you recognize, that's me. Now, this is a very high level of pride. You know, Chinese are very good at that. You know, Chinese are very good at that. They say, when they say, yeah, you're so good. They say, no, I'm not that. But he said, oh, yeah, I feel good. This is what we call hypocrites. This kind of hypocrisy not only fool other people, the most important of all, you fool yourself. That is the highest of pride, I tell you. Deep yourself inside, you think that you're very good. You just say that verbally, say, I'm okay, I'm not so good. Be very careful. Sometimes when I out to preach in different churches, in conferences and meetings, and some of the brothers and sisters of the good heart come and say, Dr. Clark, you speak very well. Then I say, no. My heart says, oh, feel good. But quickly, I have to bow heads and pray and ask God to forgive me. If I allow that to happen, then Satan will have a foothold in me. And from there on, it will build something that will resist God. And one day I'll fall very harshly. So I usually use an analogy to help myself so that I just don't get this ego going so fast. Because brothers are well-intended. They come to support you, praise you, but human is human, right? When you praise, you feel good. But if you grab it as your, you're open the way for Satan. And Satan is going to destroy you. Not only destroying you, but also destroy your future ministry. So I use an analogy to help myself. Just like I'm some singer or maybe some actor acting on a stage. After I finish my act, so what happened? Some girls come out and pick some flower to me, right? And give me the flower and say, hey, congratulations, good performance. So if I'm the actor, I'm the performer, I get a flower, I smell it. Smells good. And then what? I quickly pass it on to someone at the backstage. His name is Jesus Christ. Now you've got the right to smell it. Because you try, right? You have a little thing. You got a space to smell it, but you always remember that is not you. That does not belong to you. You quickly pass to the one behind. That's your Lord. You got to be humble in order to serve God. Otherwise, if you build up very big ego, Satan is going to destroy you. Now, you're going to get confused. Let me warn you. What I'm going to say next is very confusing. You know, some people who have that sense, strong sense of inferiority, they feel they're inferior, is actually very proud. You say, wait a minute, what are you talking about? It's the opposite. If I have a strong sense of inferiority, how can I be proud? If someone who is, when other people tell them that, oh, there's some criticism, they feel hurt, this person is very proud also. You say, Dr. God, what are you talking about? I already feel inferior. You say I'm proud? Just the opposite? Yes. You are proud. One time I go to a European church in Austria. After I preach, and then a lady came to talk to me. And she liked my messages, she talked to me. And this lady, this sister, did not have a beautiful face. She has some sense of inferiority. She feels that she's not beautiful. Either there are more pretty girls, pretty sisters, and then there are a lot of boys or brothers chase after these girls, and no one approach her. So she felt inferior because she feels that she's not pretty. And because of this one, she kind of hides herself. Every time when she goes to church, whenever some people talk around there, she thought that someone is talking about her and criticizing her. She feels hurt. That's why she just hides herself in her little cell. Whenever something happened, they thought people were talking about her. She got hurt very easily. As a result, over time, she's suspicious of other people. She resents other people. She don't want to interact with other people because she tried to protect herself. And I tell her sister, you got to grow off that. Because you know what? You're very proud.
I'm proud?
Yes, you're proud. Why? Because you always think about yourself. Wait a minute, what is humility? What's pride in? I'm going to confuse you even more. All right, let's read Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Let's go. Who says this? Jesus, right? He said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know, Chinese never say that they are humble. When someone says they are humble, they are not humble, right? So this is usually what I say, right? When someone says, I'm humble, then of course you're not humble. You think that you're humble. Jesus said he's humble. Is Jesus really humble? Of course he's humble, right? He's the Lord. So how do you reconcile? Some people claim that they're humble. Is he really humble? Now we get all mixed up. Inferior people are proud. Humble people say they're humble. They're humble. What are you talking about? What is the essence of humility? Let's read that together. Galatians 2:20. Let's go. The true humility is that you no longer exist. You're empty, your total self. Just like we talk about the Beatitudes. I have sinners now, I want to die in you. I want to mourn. I want to be meek. Feel me, God. Now that I live, it's not me, it's you living in me. So since you're living me, I no longer exist. Myself is no longer there. Other people criticize me, I'll just say, is it true? If it's true, then change. If it's not true, that's okay. I'm not that important because I no longer exist. I don't need to protect myself anymore. I'm non-existent. In me, Jesus Christ dwells in me. And the same thing, when people praise you, Jesus said, I am humble. As if Jesus then doesn't exist. It's just like another person looking at himself. This person, objective, is humble. You are so emptying yourself, you do not exist. You treat yourself as another person that's not related to you. So you can have an objective mind to judge. Is this person humble and meek? Yes, of course, yes. Then go to the truth. It's helpful. He's humble. He said, Jesus said, this person is called Jesus. He's humble. Because it seems that there's no relationship. Because I do not exist anymore. The practice of discipline of humility is empty yourself. That you do not exist anymore. Because of that, what happened? You give glory. Whenever you have some achievement, it's not you, it's Jesus, Holy Spirit in you that gives you spiritual gift. Of course, smell the flower and pass it on right away because it's not yours. There's no point to be boastful. It's not from you. You're just a steward. Do it and give it to the master. When people try to attack you, no problem. I become a transparent person. If you shoot an arrow to me, it just goes through me. It doesn't even touch me because I don't exist anymore. So, brothers and sisters, how to practice the principle or discipline of humility? Die to yourself. Be meek. Mourn. Thirst for the Lord. Let Him dwell in Him. Be peacemaking. Go out and do good in the name of the Lord, even at a sacrifice, and die on the cross. If you do so, congratulations. Let's read the final words. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Who is really being spiritual? Empty yourself. If you are pure in heart, you will see God. And more people will see you as they see God Himself. Because what is existing, living, is no longer yourself, but Jesus in you. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, God. Thank you. Help us at the Sunday worship to worship you. Help us to be a really humble, meek person, not superficially. Not also think too much about ourselves so that we feel hurt. You're so conscious about other people, how they think about ourselves. We cannot just protect ourselves and hide from other people. We try our best to work to glorify you, but when there's achievement, it's not our talents, it's you in us. May you be the one who get all the glory. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
I'm going to highlight a couple of announcements, numbers 2 through 4. Today we're going to be having our youth worship service, which is our monthly youth worship. Usually we do it the last Sunday of the month, but we're not having it this coming Sunday, the next Sunday, because next Sunday is Thanksgiving joint service. So next Sunday, don't come here at 10. Come at 11:15 in the new sanctuary, and we'll join together. And then for the youth worship today, of course, there won't be any of the Sunday school classes, but the children's Sunday school will meet in the youth room in the education building. Also, this is the time of the year for our church congregational meetings. We have a question and answer meeting today during lunch, so get a lunch and come back here in the English sanctuary, and we'll have a chance to review the budget, and you can ask questions or give comments. And then on December 3rd, we're having our annual members meeting, and so if you're 16 and older, and you have been baptized here, you are a member that needs to come and vote, so please do so. I'd also like to right now pray for our offering, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness in our lives, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to give back to you, and so may these gifts, these offerings today, Lord, be may you be glorified through them, and may your kingdom be established. In Jesus' name, amen.